Hey everyone, welcome to Blind Bargains 163, in which most of us feel absolutely 163% awesome to be here. I am Joe, that is JJ under the weather.
Now wait a minute, I'm a little sick, but you just sound like a cartoon character.
Hey everyone, welcome.
that's me trying to power through. That's the...
My drink of choice is lemon and water today.
Okay, I like that. That's really good. Patrick is with us as well in the background, who is feeling probably a little better than the both of us.
Maybe I should try a hot toddy. I've never had one in my life.
There you go. Well, you can just ask Google to give you some suggestions and use Google Express in order to order all that stuff to your house. And it might arrive by the end of this podcast. You never know. So we finished an Apple wrap-up show. And now we're actually back to what we laughingly call the traditional format, in which we have the news, then sound off, and of course, last word at the end. But hey, we've got something in the middle of the show.
Yes, I mentioned last week that when I was in Colorado, I interviewed Sam Lateef of Procter & Gamble. You and Greg briefly mentioned this deal with accessible shampoo and conditioner. It's a really cool idea, and Sam is a blind employee of Procter & Gamble's, worked there for almost 2 decades and brought this stuff. Hey, gave us free shampoo. I mean, us, I mean me. If you would have been there, Joe, you could have had some.
Oh, dude.
I looked it up. These are $15 bottles in total. So, you know, they were messing around. But she'll explain how this all came together. And it's a really cool interview. So definitely stay tuned for that.
I like that we're able to land some of these things right as they happen. It's been very lucky for us this year to have some topical guests at the time in which their topics are within the realm of consciousness.
You just never know, right? I wasn't looking for that at all.
No, just kind of sort of worked out. Well, as we enter the news, there's some things that also just tend to happen when you least expect it. You mentioned that we had Greg on the show. Greg was on not too long ago talking about Ira's big business initiative. Ira's shown up a couple of times in the news feed this year. I'm quite sure it'll show up again in the this year of assistive technology 2018. And I say that because, well, there have been some changes that have happened that, well, if you follow social media of any kind in the blind Twitter sphere or Facebookathon, you've probably heard about Ira changing their pricing.
Yes. You know, some of this, I think, had to happen. I do apologize for my voice. It's just, you know, it is what it is. So Ira had an unlimited plan, which was most recently $329. Actually, I think it was even less than that for the very, very early explorers that came on in the alpha beta around 200. But $329 is the price it's been for a while. Here was the other catch of that thing. Not only could you get the unlimited plan, you could apply share minutes to that. So you could share that with up to two other people. So in other words, making it $110 a person. Now, they could have just got rid of that, but they decided it's just not sustainable at $329 when you're using it for 30, 40, 50 hours a month. Now, of course, they say that most users aren't doing that. I don't know. So now there is a 700-minute plan for the same price, incidentally not advertised on their website, but that's available. But meanwhile, they raised some of the other prices as well and kind of left some gaps. There's some good stuff here. There's a $29 plan for 30 minutes. If you kind of just want a taste of Ira besides the guest access, which is still available, you can do that for $29. You can't even get Horizon glasses with that or anything. You can do $99 for 120. That's pretty similar to the $89 for 100. And you can do $199 for 300. So that's a cut of 100 minutes for the same price. We also lost the $129 plan, which I thought was a nice little sweet spot in the middle for 200 minutes. Also, now the Horizon glasses have some changes as well. But I guess there's a lot to talk about here, Joe. So I'm not sure where you want to start.
Yeah. I'll let you catch your breath there. And so if you want to be able to do a thing where you just, you know, rent to own the Horizon glasses, you can do that. Or you can buy them outright if you want to do that. You don't want to pay, say, $25 a month towards the idea of having your Horizon glasses. You do have that. It's around $600 if you want to do
that. That's interest free. 24 payments. Yeah. So there's no interest on that.
So that's kind of nice. If you're looking to do that, the $29.99 is not a shareable plan. So $29 for 30 minutes. I saw some people on Twitter talking about this, that they thought that was a shame because, you know, two people could split it for $15. Now I think you're just splitting hairs. That's a bit crazy. The idea is to get people to try it who may not have access to, say, you know, a smart city or one of the promotions or an airport.
Right, the small business thing or the election thing. You know,
well, so this is a great way for someone who's not had the opportunity to play with this. Then they'll get an opportunity. And mind you, we're talking about American price plans here. It is different outside the United States for various countries. So be aware of that. You want to go to the website to know more. The other thing that I find fascinating is some people were confused about the rollover minutes before. Of course, there was convention plans before. It's almost getting to be like a cell phone carrier in which it was the plan you had at the day you signed up. And I feel sorry for customer support because that's going to be very confusing.
Oh, it already is. So you have the rollover minutes, which existed for a while and then disappeared. I think they should bring them back now if they're going to do all this pricing changes. That would be one thing to consider, you know, if you want to soften the blow. For me, as I kind of alluded to, it's those mid-range plans. They kind of snuck in those changes while changing the unlimited. So now you're paying for $1.99, you're paying, you know, more per minute than you were before. It was 50 cents a minute. Now it's 67. So 67 cents a minute. So say you're in on this. You're all in on IRA, $199 a month. Okay, you have the advantage of 24/7 service. But 67 cents a minute, that's $42 an hour. There is a point here, especially as a business person or someone who needs assistance, where it becomes cheaper to hire an assistant. Yes, you have to be a little less flexible on timing, but you can hire assistants to do things. In fact, you can hire assistants in the mainstream to do tasks for about that or less as well.
Task Rabbit, Task Easy.
Magic, those type of things as well.
Well, and there's even that one that's advertising on CNN and other where if you are looking for caregiving situations, there's that too. So, that is a very interesting
one. They don't have the blindness stuff. You know, like, it depends what you need. You know, specific travel guidance is a niche that IRA has. But if I need help filling out a PDF, I don't need a specifically trained for the blind agent to do that, right?
Yeah. You know, some people have looked at this to say, like, it is a matter of having, like, an extra insurance payment, or they look at it as I consider it like my cell phone or my electricity payment. I just build it in like a utility. There are people that we know, remember last year we talked about, Q, who said, you know, look, this is like having a lawyer on retainer. So for some people, it is part of how they approach their business and kind of like Greg talked about.
And it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And, you know, I get the unlimited plan. I get that that wasn't sustainable. The changing a whole bunch of the other plans at the same time, and I combined with all of the current issues that are going on with, you know, they're still trying to figure out customer service. There's still problems with the Android app. There's still a lot of other things that need to be fixed. What I would have done, and I'm not them, and I don't have their financial pocketbooks in front of me. I know they're trying to get more investors. I would have cut off started by cutting off the unlimited plan for new users and then went from there. Then you can find, okay, you probably have a clause in your terms of service that says, if you are drastically overusing the service, we can talk to you. They told me that, hey, we noticed that you never actually went over 700 minutes a month anyway. Yeah, true. But it's kind of nice not thinking about and not having to look.
That's what I was going to say. It was a peace of mind moment for you as opposed to something else. So if you were in a situation, you could do that. But, you know, at the same time, having worked in a call center and understanding net utilization, you know, you're losing a tech or an agent in this case. And when you're trying to be 24/7 to multiple countries, that means that there's one less person in the pool to pull from. So I get that a long call could be kind of not great for net utilization. By net utilization, I mean how an agent uses time, how the company can use the time of the agent, how many calls they can take within a given time. So a lot of that works when you look at, say, if you're, you know, in the case of me working at a computer company at the time, you know, we needed to take 3 calls an hour to justify position, as well as how much was being spent on position, as well as the 1-800 number and a whole bunch of other factors. But that was something that we had to do. And this gets back to what I said at the beginning of the year, money. When everybody got mad at us back in January with this year in assistive technology, 2017, that was what we were talking about, was the financials. You know, was it feasible as a company? Everybody got very upset with us because they looked at it from a very personal experience, as you should. But, you know, we were talking about the business aspects of this company then.
So here's the question for you. And let's put out right now, it is not easy to build this company. There is a lot of infrastructure that goes into designing hardware, creating video feeds, hiring agents, all the stuff that went into this. You know, they've invested millions and millions into this. Do you think a competitor will emerge at this point?
That has always been my concern. And Chancey and I talked about that months ago, was that it's very hard for someone to enter this space, which, you know, we're back to sometimes we have a monopoly in our little blindness niche. And yeah, it's possible. I mean, don't get me wrong. Be My Eyes is doing okay. It's getting lots of grants. They had over 100,000 people sign up. They're getting awards like crazy. In fact, they just got like two more awards I'd never even heard of. But they put that out there. But it's not the same as Aira.
No.
And that, yeah. So, I mean, it's good that it's there, but it's not anywhere close to the customer experience.
Well, you know, maybe you think about that. Maybe you start thinking about, okay, I'm going to save my Aira minutes for these specialized tasks that I know Aira does well. And then if I need someone just to tell me what's the directions on this pizza box, I'm not going to call Aira for that anymore. I'm going to call Be My Eyes because I think I get someone to help me and we could probably accomplish the same thing. Or maybe I'll go back to using TapTapC or Directions for Me or other services AI, that exist.
Seeing AI. The barcode that way.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You know, you start thinking a little bit more, okay, do I really want to use Aira for this, considering I'm paying $1 a minute?
Yeah, I agree with you about the airport and stuff. You know, especially Ricky had just flown and, you know, for her, it was a big thing. I think it's also important for security if you travel a lot, especially independently, and you are feeling insecure. Aira's a great thing in order to make sure that you're, you know, getting where you need to go, or in case you feel like you're not in a safe place, you want to be able to have somebody kind of giving directions or giving you a way to get home faster. That kind of stuff I think is invaluable. But at home, if you're more of a homebody and you don't travel as much, yeah, I guess there's a lot that you have to consider about how you use that service and where you want to use it.
And there's lots more changes. You know, you don't even have to get the glasses now. If you're going to just use it at home, you could just sign up with your phone, and they finally have admitted now that that's actually a good option for some people, which I agree with. So that's something out there. And if you're a small business owner and that's what you're using Aira for, maybe you do not need any plan. Maybe you just stick using that. We don't know how long that offer is going to last, but you just use the free offer, which exists at least at the moment.
TeamViewer. Some people use TeamViewer. That's a hidden gem amongst all the services. There's a lot of times where you can run into a website where screen readers just go, ha, no, and you really need that done. Say it's a health insurance website or something that's involving school for your children. You know, that's where TeamViewer kicks in, and, you know, the process is secure and you give a code back and forth to the agent. So that way they have permission to log in. And that is super, super helpful in a lot of cases where you might not have somebody to come over and help you with those tasks. So yeah, it's the same way as we look at the next story with the combination simultaneous release of AI Squared and Freedom Scientific coming to fruition in JAWS 2019, ZoomText 2019, and Fusion 2019. If you look over the release list of what's available, if you are a Office 2016 or Office 365 fan, you're going to have to make a gut check, because some of the better fixes, and I do mean fixes, not necessarily features, are in this 2019 release. And for some people, maybe they're not running the latest, or maybe they're using an alternative to Office altogether. That is a big thing you'll have to concern yourself with. And Chrome and Firefox accessibility, some of the better fixes for ZoomText users, especially if you look at the ZoomText release list here that I have on in our a link in the show notes, that you're getting a lot more with edit fields. Traditionally, ZoomText has had to play catch up with that in the past, and I'm running ZT11 still, so I know exactly why this is a good thing for those who are looking at this. And of course, there's the mention here of the $80 home license.
90. And, 80.
Not, 80. Oh, is it 80? Or is it 90?
I'm seeing 90 here, unless I'm on like the Canada side.
Maybe I misread it. Maybe I jumped down to a wrong place. Okay, so 90.
Maybe Joe has deals we don't know about.
Well, not anymore. So,
this is, you know, we're going to software as a service, and the initial buy-in for a screen reader user at JAWS at $895 is a lot. $90 to say, hey, you start paying $90 a year, that probably makes a lot more sense. You're actually paying about the price that you would have paid for upgrades. In fact, maybe a little less, and you don't have that initial buy-in anymore. If you pay $90, you're in, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, you $250 for an SMA. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and that's the other thing.
No more SMAs.
That, and they're pricing themselves in a way that works for the enterprise, the same way that IRA is kind of sort of doing the same thing with you know, site licenses in you know, airports and things like that. There's a recognition of the home user. And at the same time, you got to admit that the companies are listening to what people have asked for, which is, I need to have a cheaper way in. I need to have a cheaper way to stay current. There's some people like Envision AI who give you the ability to do it a little bit at a time or buy a giant block and be done with it. FlickType, another situation where you're buying something that monthly. We talked about that earlier this year too, that the one and done price scheme was over. That's
true for me. And by the way, that you're 80, I think came from Zoomtext is 80.
80. Yeah. See, that's where I read it.
That's what you're thinking. You could buy more multiple years, but you don't save any money. So I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah. Well, they haven't been giving a discounted convention over the last year or 2 years. So don't look to see that was a good thing there. So if you're trying to hold on to your nickels, hoping that there was going to be a sale, that doesn't seem to be the case. Although I did see that Envision America was running like Black Friday sales. I think it was like $400 off a ID Mate Galaxy.
Wow. Yeah.
So there are already Black Friday sales happening in the industry before we get to Black Friday, which is funny. I guess this is good. I'm happy to see that JAWS and ZoomText, since now that they're working together, are going to be released somewhat near each other. And certainly for universities and large organizations, Fusion makes a heck of a lot of sense because you get both and you can run those independently. So you can run JAWS if you want, or ZoomText by itself if you just have users that feel comfortable in those programs. And of course, Fusion is its own interface with its own advantages to running both at the same time. A great thing for those who are progressively losing their vision so they can transition from, you know, using a screen magnifier into a screen reader. So there's some advantages there too. But just like last week, you know, there seems to be a theme here. Everything is going up. Costs are going up for assistive technology.
No new pricing here, but new features for OrCam. The latest MyEye 2.0, some improvements to barcodes. You can use a Bluetooth headset. Hey, use an Aftershocks with that, which we sell at AT Guys. You could do voice commands, which I guess for many people, hands-free is a good thing. You know, so if you're into that thing, into the OrCam, there you go. Some new free updates for you. Like I've mentioned before, with these smart glasses, which are all expensive, try these things out first. Oh my gosh, you're spending $3,000, $4,000, $10,000 on these things. I've seen an e-site on the classifieds and blind bargains because someone got it and then they realized it wasn't going to work for their situation. These, you know, there are some good people in this area. They are all salespeople. You know, even Sean, who I love a lot from CyberEyes, you know, he still is a salesperson and they do want you to buy their stuff. So try these things out as much as you have the opportunity, and don't just assume if someone says, we have this cure to help you and you're going to see more and you're going to do everything with these glasses. You know, definitely get your hands on these things at first and see where they're going to take you. Or maybe someone will give you a trial or whatever. You can see where it's going to go for you. But at least they are getting, you know, like I said, they're getting better over time. The glasses are, and, you know, they're all adding more features. And, you know, we're starting to get to that point. Give me another year or two. We might be talking about how amazing they all are and everyone's wearing them.
Some people are wearing glasses because they have low vision, and low vision was the subject for the latest survey from WebAIM, who have published their results. The results have a lot of charts and graphs and lots of information. It's pretty extensive. It's pretty interesting how they broke this thing down, in which they really look into age-related vision loss, how some people would approach their vision, also font preferences, magnification. It is an interesting snapshot, and I know I just used interesting three times in less than 5 minutes. That isn't me really trying not to stand on one side of the issue or another like I usually do. It's me finding what they've gotten so far out of the sampling that they have absolutely fascinating. It's rare that we get to get any type of information like this on this level. And sure, this is a certain, you know, segment of the population who's familiar with WebAIM or was aware of it and, you know, have some internet savviness to them. But even that has its own gleam points from what you can get out of it. There is some really strange bits here that I think is fascinating in how some people approach their fonts. You know, there's some universality with screen readers. You know, people like to speed up their voice, or people have certain things that they like about their speech synthesizer. It's dyed in the wool. Low vision people are all over the place because, you know, it's a sliding scale. And this study slash survey tries to take that into account. The link that I have in the show notes actually takes you to the larger study, and it is very massive. It's broken down into several bits. It's a lot to digest. So if you get a chance, definitely take a look at this. I know I was a little critical of the screen reader survey in the past, as you might have heard Jay and I spar about that once or twice. I think they, for the second outing, did a good job in encapsulating it. But again, it's just a snapshot. There's just so much about vision loss and blindness that's hard to capture in this kind of survey.
Yeah, only 8% of respondents use Narrator. Okay. I mean, I guess it's more talking about screen readers and magnifiers. The other thing about a low vision survey, a lot of your quote-unquote high partials probably use Windows built-in magnification tools, and they probably use tools that we don't use much. What used to be like Connect Out Loud, like the ones that will just like speak out.
The ones from iCyst. Yeah. Right. Yeah, those.
They don't identify as really even being low vision. So there are people that use tools that there's no way they're taking this survey because they probably never reach them. And a lot of times when you need to create for accessibility, you're really helping out people that have color blindness or people that just, you know, have trouble reading small print. You know, a lot of the design changes you make for accessibility help lots of people who don't get identified in these surveys.
Yeah, and it's not even a situation either where if it's a cognitive thing, if it's dyslexia. There we go. Print handicapped individuals. I mean, print handicapped individuals get thrown in with low vision individuals just because it's synonymous, right? There's some things that, you know, oh, this will work. But, you know, making text bigger, you're right, doesn't always work for those individuals. In fact, it can actually slow them down. So having the ability to change just fonts or spacing or the way that things are bolded, you know, some people didn't know that Zoom Text and Magic at some point was able to bold things, make things look a little bit more larger just by making the text look and stand out that much more with bolding. I knew people in the Division for Blind Services in Texas who didn't want to use Zoom Text for whatever reason, but they would control A and then bold all the text in a document to read it, which I thought, wow, that's crazy. When this software, you could run it at 1x and just turn on the bolding and that would do the same. So for some people, it's a matter of pride. Some people, it's a matter of denial. That would be me, by the way. I was very much in denial till I was about 29 years old. But there are some people who would not touch the survey because they don't consider themselves low vision. So yeah, there's a lot to go.
So there's a lot of niches out there. One, I'm looking at a niche here. Sorry that we have in our news roundup all this stuff that blindbargains.com, by the way, under this episode, Dragon Dictation, the professional version for the Mac being discontinued. Very niche product, I'm sure. But if you are one of the people that are using it, it's going to hit you hard. If you are physically disabled, or if for some reason you can't type, or you rely on dictation, you need a product like this. You know, you think screen readers are niche.
Outspoken and enlarged system 9 coming back.
That's even more niche than screen readers, though. I mean, it's a very niche product, but very important to those who use it. So now they're at a decision of, do I switch to Windows? Do I just deal with what I have? You know, you're kind of like, you know, can I make the lower end version of this work?
Well, and if you believe what Apple was saying last week, then the Mac, you know, it's not what you want to be on. You want to be on the iPad. That has its own situational problem if you're using something like this software, because there's a lot of theories out there that says that Apple's own chips are better than Intel or faster. But with that comes iOS at the moment. It is a situation where a lot of Mac people last week had to start looking inward on whether they needed to stay on a platform like that or consider Windows for those very reasons. It is not the same world we were growing up in just 4 or 5 years ago as far as the Mac is concerned. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I said this is shades of outspoken and enlarge. For those who don't know, who haven't been using assistive technology for a long time, System 9 software for the Mac add screen reader and screen magnifier outspoken and enlarge by Alvin Access. When it was announced that OS X would not have those programs any longer, there was a long dry spell where there was no real blindness accessibility until way later, like 10.4. So we haven't seen that in Apple land for a long time now. Some of you might be saying, well, Apple has its own built-in speech and dictation. That's true. It does, but it might not have the control scheme that you're used to or the training. Remember, you can train Dragon to do a lot of things. It's a very large program that gives you a lot of macros, so you don't have to do the same controls over and over again and speak them. So yeah, you could learn Automator too, but that just is a lot to ask people who are really invested in a platform. That seems also to be a thread that we're having in this particular episode.
Right.
Let's back off all this heavy stuff for a minute. Let's just talk about going out there and competing with other people in a professional setting. Blind Call of Duty 4 player gets official. He takes down some people in a match, big time. This is something that I had heard people trying with Overwatch and some other games, but man, this player already is competing competitively. I saw a couple of people on my own Twitter timeline, blind gamers going out and getting Call of Duty. If you don't know, this is a war simulator. It's called a first-person shooter in which you go around and shoot other players. There's a lot of audio cues that have been added to it. One of the hard things to do in this game is that you can see characters way, way off. They're little, you know, dots that you just put a targeting reticle on and you shoot at. Well, now there's audio cues, so blind players can do somewhat similar things. And you would think, well, there's no way I'm going to get my butt handed to me if I try to do this. Well, this guy right here shows that it can be done with the tools that have already been built within it. And it's another modern game that we're starting to play. I mean, people in my feed and I are playing Soul Calibur 6 last week. This week it's this, and other people were playing Madden, you know, 2018, yeah. 2019. So we're starting to see some of these mainstream games get little bits of assistive technology to help us play them.
TJ had 10,000 eliminations on the Call of Duty World War II, using only vibrations in his ears, and now he's on it here as well. So very cool stuff. There's lots of really cool blind gamers out there who have figured out mainstream games, and it's always kind of cool to follow these stories. And you know, as mainstream games are becoming a little more accessible, at least we're finding more ways to make that happen.
Yep, giving you a reason to have that video game console in your house, especially if you don't have children. I'm just saying, you know, as a guy who's a little older but has been playing Atari 2600 since he was a wee lad, it's nice to be able to have games that are easy to pick up and play or play with friends and family. Have you gotten in on the Jackbox Party Pack 5
not
with
yet.
Liam?
No, okay. Not yet. I will at some point. I have most of the other ones on Steam now. And
yeah.
At some point, so, you know, we've never really demoed Jackbox around here, so maybe at some point.
No, we should totally do that. Yeah. And I see that Liam's character in Soul Calibur 6 was named JJ. I thought that was very interesting. I don't know if you knew that. Yes.
No.
So, yes. So his character in the Libra of Souls is named JJ. I find that really funny. Head on over
I'm
to Liam's channel.
I'm a little worried about this. Okay.
On YouTube and learn who Surfer Maxi is. That's all I'm going to say, but head on over to Liam's channel. If you're not already, go subscribe to Liam's channel. He's been doing some great stuff with Audio Game Jam as well. So good stuff. Check that out. And we'll have to get him back on the microphones. Coming up, we definitely have more to come with Last Word and, of course, Sound Off. But Jay, with better voice in Colorado, took some time to learn a little bit more about those little bottles that we just don't know what they are. And here's our interview with Procter & Gamble and learning about the bottles that you can feel to know whether it's the shampoo or conditioner, or like Craig said, mouthwash.
I'm here at the NFB of Colorado Convention. You never know who you run into in exhibit halls at state conventions, but I have found Sam Lateef, who is an inclusive design consultant for Procter & Gamble. Hey, Sam, welcome to Blind Bargains.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So people are probably wondering, why do we have Procter & Gamble on the show? You know, we usually do a lot of tech stuff, but you have actually created accessibility for shampoo and conditioner. Why don't you tell us what you've done?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So we have introduced tactile markings to help differentiate between shampoo and conditioner. So below the brand, so Procter & Gamble is our parent company, and we have many brands that you might be familiar with. We have Tide and Gillette, Pampers, Olay, and one of my current favourites is Herbal Essences, as you guys call it in the US. I call it Herbal Essences. So Herbal Essences have a line called BioRenew, and we have introduced tactile markings to help people differentiate by touch shampoo from conditioner. And what we've done is on the back of every bottle, we've introduced four vertical tactile lines that are shampoo, so stripes, we can call them, S mm-hmm. for stripes, S for shampoo. And on the conditioner, on the label, just below the label, we've introduced two rows of horizontal circles, C for circles, C for conditioner.
Well, you stole my next question. I was just going to ask, how did you end up on lines versus circles and all that? So you've obviously made a conscious decision to do that versus, say, Braille or something else.
Yeah, so we actually, I need to tell you that I didn't come up with this stripes equals shampoo mm-hmm. S. It was Team Vogue, an online magazine. I read that they had said Procter & Gamble had done this, but I quite liked their way to remember shampoo and conditioner, so I'm using it now. But the reason we, just take you back on the journey. Mm-hmm. So when we started looking at making packaging tactile, we looked at lots of different options, including Braille. And for cost or technical reasons, we have ended up with the solution that we've got, which is called laser etching. So the technology that we're using to create the lines and dots or stripes and circles is using laser etching. And already today on the back of our shampoo bottles, we were using laser etching to print a 10-digit visual code. So you might often feel a horizontal line on right. labels. It's the same technology, but it's, you know, it's pumped up so that you can make it more tactile. And the reason we came up with the design, so I was trying to find something that people, everybody could read. So people who knew Braille and people who didn't know Braille. So this is a conscious effort to make our packaging universally identifiable or inclusively designed. And we were trying to find a repetitive pattern, you know, so that's why we came up with the lines. And then I needed to find something that was contrasting, hence the dots.
Sure.
We tried other patterns, like, you know, waves and arrows and all those kind of things. But, you know, you know yourself, JJ, it's very difficult to read with your fingers. It's not the same. So when you touch stuff with your fingers, you don't really make out the intricate detail. So the simple, the better, and the more repetitive it was, the better. So that was kind of the rationale behind it. And it had to be tactile enough that it wasn't just like a decoration on the bottle, but it was actually something that you could tell that this is a communication, that this is telling me something.
Yeah, it's also in the shower, so it needs to be very discernible because you're going to have water all around it as well. So that kind of, to me, would go into it at least a little bit as far as it needs to be large enough. These lines, the stripes and the circles, it's a pretty, what would you say, 3-4 inches long strip at least mm-hmm. on the bottom, not on the bottom, on the side, it's on the side, but on the bottom, facing outward. And it's very, you know, once you understand what the two markings mean, it's very obvious one or the other. So it's a really cool design. You have it on one brand right now, or are you trying to get it across to all the others? It just seems like a test run, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is new to the market. Nobody in the US market is doing this. You know, no other shampoo company is doing it. And this, yeah, I mean, we have just, you know, we're just starting on this journey. And that's why I'm here at the NFB and I'm, you know, helping to get the message out. I'm really looking forward to hearing back from people, you know, on social media, contacting Herbal Essences directly. You know, we need to hear back from people like us who will really benefit from this innovation. And, you know, if we get positive feedback, you know, we're on a journey, we would love to progress.
So you're blind as well, and that's, I'm sure that was part of your interest in getting into this. How was that journey and also convincing executives of Procter & Gamble this needed to happen?
So I've been at Procter & Gamble for 18 years, and the first 15 years I was working in the IT function. So I was working on brands like we used to have our fragrance business. I was working on Pampers, Olay, Gillette, on global regional IT type of roles. And I was quite passionate about accessibility in general. Like, I wanted to make sure all of our websites were accessible. And then I realized that actually, you know what, there's an opportunity here to make our products and our packaging and our advertising accessible as well. And I went to, you know, I went to my IT sponsor, who happened to also sponsor, he's an executive sponsor, his name's Julio Nemeth. And Julio really got it that you know, there was something, you know, there was something of value here. Mm-hmm. And he gave me, you know, he asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, you know, I can carry on doing IT, but I think there's a major business opportunity here. There's 1.3 billion people who have a disability around the world.
With and a B.
Yes, B yeah. as in billion.
Billion, yeah.
And, you know, collectively they've got trillions to spend in disposable income, but we really need to start looking at these consumers. I mean, they're not probably visible. They're not black or white or tall or small or male or female. It's everybody. And just because we can't see them always, because a lot of disabilities are invisible as well, doesn't mean that they don't exist. So so Julio worked his magic. And a week later, I got offered this job, this role as an inclusive design consultant. And the way I was bringing the message to, like, because I run, just a side story here, but I also run the P&G's People with Disabilities Network. I was part of this network.
Okay.
This network was, you know, it's been well established in the US for years, and I was always, like, remotely part of this network because I'm based in the UK, and I was trying to take this network and expand it globally into the UK. And to do that, I introduced this thing called the Disability Challenge. And what I did was I got P&G people to experience firsthand what it was like to have a disability.
Sure.
And, you know, I gave them simulation glasses for sight loss, gloves for dexterity, and put some people in a wheelchair and asked them to do their daily business and try opening our packaging. And it was really eye-opening. Excuse the pun, but it was really eye-opening for people, and it became viral within the company. And I had the opportunity to run this with our CEO David Taylor and his leadership team, and I think all of that really helped. We also have a reverse mentorship program, so we were connected. We connect a person with a disability with someone, you know, very senior in the company, to help the company become more disability confident. And as we were running the Disability Challenge and getting connected with really senior people in the company, being able to share the idea of, you know, the shampoo and conditioner, that was my personal frustration for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to stick the bump-ons or lock dots on the bottles. But so I used that as part of my Disability Challenge. And when I was doing it, when we were running the challenge, I realized one day that we should actually just do this on our bottles. So that's when Julio helped me connect with the business leader ultimately for Herbal Essences, and we met, and I convinced him that we wanted to do this, and he said, okay, on you go. And that was it. And then I engaged with the people from the Herbal team, who really, you know, we were a small and mighty team, but everybody in the team really wanted to do this. It wasn't just me. It was several people within the Herbal Essences team, engineers, you know, packaging experts, and really it was all down to them helping me find this, because I didn't know how to do, you know, the tactile packaging. But those guys were packaging experts. They were engineers, scientists. And, you know, I had all the best crew.
Sure.
who absolutely worked with me to figure out how we could bring this to life. And there was so much passion and energy from these people. You'll see in the video there's Shane Mays. And he was the guy that really helped me to think about this laser technology. And we flew to Germany together. We sat at the supplier there was a company, and we worked with them for 2 days. We kind of locked ourselves up and tried to find a symbol that would work, that would reflect what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And we found it.
That's so cool. And of course, the video that you mentioned, we'll link to that in our show notes at blindbargains.com as well. I'll just get you out on this. Going forward in the future, you have the markings for the one brand, Herbal Essence.
Yes.
What's your goals going forward? What would you like to see happen?
My hope and wish is that all shampoo companies cannot say no after they hear from the public that this is the right thing to do. It's helpful not only for them, but for their friends and family. I want companies to take this on board and it becoming a world-class standard. But we need to know that, you know, this is a trial. We're on a journey. And we need to work on this together, not just me, not just Herbal Essences, but all of us.
And if that happens, Sam will be a major reason why that happens. That's very cool. Thank you so much for sharing. Give the brand again, because this is out now in stores. It's not just some special thing that you have to order. If you go buy this brand, it's going to be marked, right?
Yeah, so we have been starting to produce this brand with the tactile features as of 11th of September. I was at the factory where we pressed the button. The goal.
Right.
But it depends on the stock that each of the...
Sure, as they replace their old ones.
So yep. I was in New York last week and I was in Denver today, 2 days ago, and I noticed that Target had some of the flavors with the tactile markings, and it was really incredible for me personally
to see that in the store.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. And so it's herbal, is it a specific, you said Herbal Essence sub-brand?
Bio Renew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. We'll link to them as well. Thank you so much for sharing. This is really cool.
And you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
If people want to give you feedback, what's the best way to do that?
So we have the video on YouTube. I think if you can...
Yeah, but we'll link to that.
You can link... if you can share that link.
Yep.
And then a comment on that video, if you could. And I can share my email with you as well.
Yeah, go ahead and just say it.
Okay, it's latif.s@pg.com. So Latif is spelled Lima Alpha Tango India Foxtrot dot S for Sam at pg.com.
Nice to have those short domain names, right?
Yeah.
Two-letter domains. There
yeah,
you go.
Absolutely.
Sam, thank you so much. It's really an inspiring story. Really glad to share it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks, JJ.
Daryl Shandro, longtime listener of this and many of our shows in the past at other places, sends in a tip and says, you know, hey, how about getting the BB card? So it's like an electronic business card that you can even
V-card.
Like, shrink it down to like a QR code, which is pretty cool. The QR code, you can actually, can you do it on the Pixel with the camera? You can with iPhone. iPhone, you can actually,
I believe so.
3D touch and use it as a QR scanner.
So, yeah. So the idea is VCF files are your V cards and you can use them to send your contact to someone on a phone. And, you know, you could also buy this site here, this bvcard.com, also create a QR code if you wanted to, as to let people access that. He makes a suggestion about even having an IRA agent call in, or you having them go to the site. If you're given a card at a conference, to have them fill it out and the card will be emailed to you. I have privacy security concerns with that particular suggestion, but, you know, who knows? These guys may be just fine. I have those same security concerns if any cloud-based, so, you know, like there's cloud-based OCR services, for instance,
right?
And
right.
Or cloud-based document conversion services. And theoretically, they're deleting things, or they say they are, but I'm not entirely sure about that. But that being said, the website is pretty interesting.
Reminds me of your conversation with Cymertimes and why he felt very comfortable with seeing AI in the protocol there. Flat out said that the data wasn't being retrieved. It's killed off the servers. So there's a way of doing it that too. We've also talked about KNFB Reader doing that. There's even Office Lens, which can populate that. That's actually been a conversational point that we've had on the show a couple of times, but this is just another way of doing it. And so thanks for sending that along.
Creating a card for yourself. And I say this, I need to update mine. I used to have one. Creating a V card for yourself with all your pertinent info that you can easily send to someone is a very quick way, you know, instead of having to, type it all in or, you know, give someone your number. You can say, hey, I want to send you my card. Anyone who has an iPhone or an Android can just click that and will add everything right to their contacts. So that's a good thing to have for yourself, especially in networking situations.
Leonie Watson and many people were at the Berlin Accessibility Conference, and I saw a picture of badges. So there was the main badge, but then there were like things you could add to the badge, like multicolor coded things, which let other people know if you were approachable or not, or the way you wish to be approached. Of course, for us, that's not going to work all that great. But if you are at a conference and you don't like being approached, that would give you an opportunity to significantly let a large part of the population who has vision know that you don't. And it's funny because I actually got into a side conversation totally unrelated in Doctor Who land about conventions and how people were wanting to have no longer open microphones at panels. They want to have cards submitted ahead of time so they could be reviewed for relevant questions. And I got into a conversation with them about accessibility and doing that. And it was coming down to the idea of promoting the idea that you would fill out an electronic contact form ahead of time and submit the question before the panel. So that way, those who have low vision, blindness, or print handicap could still have a way to do that rather than be in the venue in the site and somebody flashes up a, here, submit your questions here. And it's like, yeah, the hotel Wi-Fi is really spotty. That's not going to work. So it was neat to have a conversation about accessibility in science fiction conventions, because there's a lot of inclusion going on now and diversity at sci-fi conventions, especially some of the larger national ones. That is really fun to watch, because having done those in the 80s and 90s, there was virtually nothing. So it was nice to see that that's now being included.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
Kathy Blackburn wrote in again.
This would be the shortest sound off ever.
Maybe. Kathy Blackburn wrote in and let us know that the book that we had talked about, the Beat Baseball book from a couple of weeks ago in Audible, is available on Bard. And so that's cool. If you're looking to read that book and you have an NLS subscription, then you probably want to head over that way. I wonder if it's also probably available. I think it was on Bookshare as well, which is great because that would play into the American history.
This is Beep Inside the Unsighted World of Baseball for the Blind. No, I thought I remember looking this up when we came up before. I didn't see it over there.
I've slept since then, and neither one of us is feeling well, so I'm not going to put too much stock into my foggy memory. I'm just going to... Yeah, Kathy, thanks for,
sound
putting
off.
That out there.
We're done. All right, enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe there's a reason for your comatose, so, Joe.
I would say that I would feel much better if I had a full stomach and I could just go sleep all these problems away. And I really wish someone would like make a really good, familiar, down-home breakfast sandwich. I think the Golden Arches might have helped me out here. What do you think, Jay?
I want this. They've taken the Egg McMuffin, if you haven't heard, and you can now get a triple stack with two slices of bacon, two sausage patties, two slices of cheese, strangely only one egg.
Yeah, out of all the things.
850 calories. That's
yes.
Actually less than I thought, but that's a lot for
I don't
not
growing
the hash brown and the coffee or the orange juice that goes with it.
Don't want to know the grams of carbohydrates in that particular. Yeah, that's a scary thought. It's a lot better than, remember Pete Bosley used to like the meat cube from Wendy's, which was all like four patties and four pieces of cheese.
Oh my.
At Wendy's. Yeah, that was the meat cube. You had to order it off the menu. It was one of those secret menu dealies. But I like that they quietly moved the Happy Meals out of the value menu, but slid this guy right on in. Here you go, a gigantic heart attack sandwich right there. With that said, I really like the new quarter pounders. I really wish I didn't like the new quarter pounders because they're pretty good. Delish.
Well, I'm actually going to spend I have a different way to spend my money.
Okay.
You might have heard of Ministry of Supply before, right? They've had some pretty interesting clothing lines over the past few years, which I've thought about buying some of. I just really haven't. I kind of want this, though. I kind of want the Intelligent Heated Jacket, which is coming out this winter. $499. Okay. Heated jacket. You know, anyone who's up north can understand the idea of the... why you might want a heated jacket.
It's like Marty McFly's self-drying jacket from Back to the Future. Yeah.
Three carbon fiber heating elements, which are lightweight, flexible, and 1 millimeter thin. there's a smart thermostat reacting to your body and the environment. It has app and voice control. This is a jacket. Uh-huh.
Well, that's like that Levi's jacket. Remember the smart jacket Google and Levi's was uh-huh. promoting like a couple of years ago? And you could even wash it. I guess you could wash this one. I mean, it's not like, or do you have to like zip it out a certain way and pull out all the innards? And then you can wash it. I've seen that too. I think it was Scotty Vest or somebody.
Multiple pockets, wireless phone charging.
Oh, dude.
Okay. Removable hood.
Well, for that special geeky someone in your life, right. You might have, or Jay's Secret Santa.
Hold on. Yeah. I haven't charged my jacket yet.
I forgot to put my jacket on the charger. Now you need like a wireless hanger charging system. That's what you need.
Oh, my gosh. I was trying to see how many hours it works for. This is it's available this winter, $499.
The batteries die, the jacket's already out of style. So you just, you know, recycle it and move on. That's how that works. Totally green. Oh, man. So we are coming to the end of the year. If you want to be a part of the Black Friday show or the holiday gift show, you definitely want to write us. We have slots available, but that window is closing by the time you hear this podcast. We're getting ever, ever closer to producing that show. And so once when we record, that's in the can and we're gone.
Yes, Black Friday is coming really soon. It's email feedback at blindbargains.com. And let us know how we can help you. We can certainly send you a list of possible pricing and planning and all that stuff. And very affordable as well. So you could email us for that or anything else you want. Feedback at blindbargains.com. You can also tweet us at blindbargains. And you can, of course, you can comment on the show notes of this page or the show 163. And I'm going to say these things quickly so I can save the rest of my voice.
So you can drink your lemon filled something or other. Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha. You can find out more tweets, especially some of the news before it actually makes the news feed of these particular shows. If you follow me over at Ranger Station on Twitter, that is Ranger Station, all one word, on twitter.com. And also, we want to thank our wonderful engineer, Mr. Patrick Perdue, for putting up with two not so well individuals. Also, the interview, which when you were feeling better, did you listen to that and go, oh, I remember how well I felt then?
Right. Thanks, Sam Lateef, again from Procter & Gamble, for doing that and coming on and all last minute. Really do appreciate it.
Also, remember that we're still figuring out what's going on for the Christmas holidays. Patrick has put out on Twitter, actually, he wanted to know if you thought the idea of having one giant monster outtake show, in which I will cry profusely.
Yes, I'm on board with the idea of one shorter show.
One just the giant best show. Uh-huh. Or would you like it to be two smaller shows broken up over 2 weeks of blackmail, which Patrick does call it the blackmail show. So you can hear more of our mistakes, which there seems to be a copious amount of this year in 2018 as opposed to 2017. So let us know. Let us know on Twitter. Let us know at feedback whether you would like one giant show, two smaller shows, or none at all. I mean, maybe you're just done with it. Maybe the concept's played out. Maybe.
No.
I hear Patrick saying no.
Not.
I don't think Patrick will ever let us off that easy. That'll never happen. Coming up, 164, we'll have more of the same before we get to the holiday show. And then we'll see what happens, because I'm done with the wrap-up shows, but I don't know if companies are done with the wrap-up shows. We'll see how that goes. But man, oh man, I am super glad to have all that stuff behind us. And then, as Jay told me, I'm moving the year too fast. 2018 wrap-up show. Yeah.
Right. Not rushed. Don't rush anything. Okay.
It's going to be so different this year. It's not going to be the same. Can't do the same format anymore. It's changed. Totally changed. That's going to do it for us, everybody. Hope you all stay well and hope you got out and voted by the time you hear this. So if you didn't and your person didn't win, remember you want to vote in those primaries, and 2020 is right around the corner. So if you missed it this time, then you got a chance to do it again. That's the great part about democracy.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See ya.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2018.
Did that break? I think that broke.